If you have your Bibles with you, I would like to ask you to open your Bibles to the New Testament portion. If you have not brought your Bibles with you, we have a few Bibles underneath those seats. You can avail of them even as we read the Christmas story today. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 1. I'll be reading beginning in verse 18 up to verse 25. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 up to verse 25. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The flowers fade, the grass withers, but the word of God lives forever. Let us pray. Father, we ask that even through this meditation today, that you will speak to each one of us. And I pray, Father God, that even as we hear your word, that we will be receptive to your word. As Father God, that even as I preach your word today, that you would give me a double portion of your anointing, that I would preach with clarity, Father, so that your word will find a lodging place in your people. It will not be void. The congregation may be seated. I have a little bit of running nose today, because yesterday I had a very interesting experience with our beloved dog, Princess. Early in the morning, I noticed that she was starting to dig out of her kennel, and my wife jokingly told me, "It's good, love, it's good, because you will have a good exercise today." So when I saw her starting to dig up dirt, trying to get out of her kennel, of course, I what I usually do is I clean the kennel by just hosing it with water, and the dirt will go away. But of course, you all know how cold it was yesterday, right? So I braved the cold because I love our dog, a Princess. And I, of course, heeded my wife's advice that I get a good exercise. So after just cleaning the kennel, I felt good about it. And Princess just looked at me, and she looked so satisfied. So I went inside the house. A few hours later, I heard a little bit of sound from the kennel. And every time I hear that sound, I know that something is going on. So when I went out for the second time, I saw that Princess was already out of the kennel because she just dug her way out. I don't know how she did it, but she is a very determined dog. And so what I did was I had to clean the kennel again and just brave the cold and try to put a cover in her doghouse just to make sure that she won't get cold when the rains come. I ultimately discovered that the reason why she was trying to get out of the kennel and get out of the doghouse was because her doghouse was wet. So I dried it up. I put a new cloth, which is the 10th cloth that we placed inside the doghouse. And as soon as she discovered that the doghouse is dry, she went inside. And today she's still there, which I hope she will be there until we get home. But that was a good exercise for me since it was very cold, so I got a little bit of sniffles, which I hope will not hinder me from preaching God's word. This is a rather unusual day, in a sense that Christmas Day happens to fall on a Sunday. In the 17 years that I have been involved in the ministry of First Philippine Baptist Church, of this church, I believe that this is my first experience of celebrating Christmas during the Sunday worship service. In the years past, we have the luxury of oversleeping on Christmas Day, right? But not today, because again, what we have this year is an unusual occurrence of Christmas Eve being on a Saturday, followed by the celebration of Christmas on Sunday. Now, I don't really know how many of you have come for worship today are fully awake. But if your eyes are wide open for the entire duration of this sermon, then I assume that you did not go to any parties last night, or perhaps you went to bed early, which means that if you were here for the candlelight service, soon after you got home from church, you had a simple dinner, you took a quick shower, and then by about 9 or 10 last night, you were already fast asleep. If this is what you did last night, obviously you will have a better chance of keeping your head high like this instead of this until the conclusion of the service. But whether you had enough sleep last night, or you barely slept at all, I hope that as we gather here to celebrate Christmas once again, we will take the opportunity to meditate upon the meaning of Christmas. And if we look into the Word of God, the Bible, the primary truth that we learn about Christmas is that it is all about Jesus Christ, who descended from heaven to earth and wrapped himself in human flesh to demonstrate God's great love for all of us, and more importantly, to fulfill God's plan to save us from our sins. This act of our Lord Jesus Christ of wrapping himself in human flesh is what we call in theological language as the incarnation. And if there's one word that we find in the Christmas story that is very much associated with what Jesus Christ did, it is the word Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open your Bibles once again to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I would like to say at the outset that I have chosen this particular passage for as the text for our sermon today because of the many passages in the Bible that give us an account of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we find both a beautiful and tender narrative of the events surrounding his birth, and at the same time, a direct reference to him as the Emmanuel, or God with us. Now, if we look into this phrase, God with us, in greater detail, what we will soon discover is that in this phrase, there are actually three words, and each one teaches us something about who Jesus Christ really is. The first word is God, and this word precisely identifies Jesus Christ as a divine Son of God who came from heaven to earth and was the baby born in Bethlehem. So Jesus Christ being Emmanuel simply means that he is God. The Apostle Paul in his first letter to Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says that Jesus Christ is God, who appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. And one translation says that Jesus Christ appeared in human form. This means then that whatever else we may say about Jesus Christ, there is no question that he is more than a mere man, because while he was truly man, while he was truly human when he first came here on earth, his ultimate identity goes far beyond humanity. Again, the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ was God who came from down to earth in the form of a baby born of a virgin. And church, let us make no mistake about this, the importance of this truth to the Christian faith, because at the core of what it means to be a Christian is our belief in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we really come to think of it, Christmas is not about Santa Claus. Christmas is not about reindeers or snowflakes or Christmas trees or parties or even the gifts that we give and receive during this most anticipated season of the year. But Christmas is all about Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in an appearance as a man, Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross of Calvary. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8. One famous preacher by the name of Dr. J. Sidlow Baxter wrote these of Jesus Christ, and I quote, "Jesus Christ leaves the bosom of the eternal Father and comes to the bosom of an earthly mother. The Son of God becomes the Son of Mary. The infinite becomes an infant. He holds the world in his hands, is held in the arms of a frail woman. He whose garment is space, whose house is the universe, whose chariots are the clouds, and whose diadems are the stars, is wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in a manger. He leaves the palace beautiful of heaven for the stable. He lays aside the celestial insignia for the peasant dress and the purple robe. He puts aside the scepter of universal sovereignty for the reed of mock royalty in Pilate's soul. He leaves the throne of heaven for the cross outside the city wall. He was the Prince of Life, bows down his head in death. He was without sin, becomes our sin bearer. The Christ of God becomes the crucified, who is the Father's delight, becomes the God forsaken, who lit the stars, lies in the dust. He comes, he toils, he hungers and thirsts, he weeps, he suffers, he bleeds and dies." Church, again, this is what Christmas is all about, and Christmas took place when Jesus Christ, who was God himself, took on human form to be our Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the second word of Emmanuel reminds us that Jesus Christ is not only God in the flesh, but he is also the shepherd we need, especially at Christmas time. You see, while Christmas is the most anticipated season of the year, it can also be the loneliest time for many people. Because in the midst of all the fun and the laughter that Christmas brings, the truth of the matter is that there is also pain and sadness and grief, and there are even many reminders of broken relationships. And as if these are not enough, there's the fact that most people feel exhausted and stressed out, especially as Christmas Day approaches, because of the enormous pressure they feel to find the money to buy the gifts that will make their loved ones happy. Church, I would like to submit for our consideration that during this difficult time of the year for many people, we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel. And because Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel, we are assured that he knows all about our problems. He knows all the hidden secrets of our hearts. He knows all the hidden fears and the spoken doubts we have about what tomorrow may bring. So let me ask you this question. What is it that bears you down? Or what is your valley today? Is it the valley of pain? Is it the valley of a loved one suffering? Is it the valley of bad health? Is it the valley of a failing marriage? Is it the valley of a children in trouble? Is it the valley of broken promises and failed relationships? Is it the valley of financial crises? Or is it the valley of bitterness? Church, whatever valley we may be walking through today, I would like to tell you that because of Christmas, we have a shepherd in our Lord Jesus Christ who knows exactly who we are and who knows exactly where we are. Because Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel, he is God with us even in the midst of our pain. And this was what King David felt when in Psalm chapter 23, he wrote of the Lord as his shepherd. You see, the most wonderful word in this particular psalm, in Psalm chapter 23, is the little word, you. And if you have read this particular psalm over and over again, what you will notice here is how David changes his mode of address when he talks about God. You see, in the first three verses of Psalm chapter 23, David refers to God in the third person. For example, he says, he makes me, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So in these verses, David speaks of God in a formal way. But then, when he comes to the darkest, the saddest and the most fearful moment of his life, his experience of God becomes very personal, because what he says beginning in verse 4 of Psalm chapter 23 is, "You are with me, and it's no longer he. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," David says, "you, not he, you, O Lord, walk with me. I am not alone. I am not abandoned. And I don't have to make that final journey on my own." This, church, is the confidence that David has in his shepherd. And if we translate this into our context today, especially as we celebrate Christmas once again, what this tells us is that in Jesus Christ, who was our Emmanuel, we can also have a shepherd we can all count on in the saddest moments of life. He will be with us. He will be on our side. And when the dark currents rise around us, he himself will carry us safely to the other side. As the gospel song declares, we don't have to cross Jordan alone, because our shepherd walks with us when we need him most. The third and final word is Savior. And this for me is the most important word in this particular passage, because this Christmas story will have no meaning at all unless we deal with the fact that Christmas is none other than an event that marked God's act of sending Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners. John chapter 3 verses 16 and 17 clearly say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." But what's the next sentence there? "But to save the world through him." And then in Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5, it also says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem, to save those under law, that we might receive the full right as sons and as daughters, as children of God." Finally, Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too," referring to Zacchaeus, remember the story? "This man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," Jesus Christ said, "for I have come to seek and to save what was lost." Someone wrote these words, and I quote, "If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent a banker. If our greatest need would have been advice, God would have sent a counselor. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is Christ the Lord, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth as God's demonstration of his love for us." Let me call this song again. I hope that you won't get tired of hearing this song. God gave the greatest gift of all when he gave Jesus. God gave the greatest gift of love wrapped in his Son. He brought us hope when we had nothing left to hope for. Salvation story has begun. God gave the greatest gift of all when he gave Jesus. God gave the greatest gift of love wrapped in his Son. He brought us hope when we had nothing left to hope for. At last, the long-awaited promise, the gift the world was waiting for, had come. God gave the greatest gift of all. And this, church, brings us back to the incarnation, which is what Christmas is all about. So for those of you here who face loneliness or pain or grief or suffering during this season of the year, we can take comfort in the fact that God's answer to loneliness is not a theory. God's answer to loneliness is not a book to read. It's not a seminar to attend. It's not a better job or more friends or a new car or a new house or another song to sing. It is not even the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. God's answer to loneliness is wrapped in one word, and that word is Jesus. Take note, however, that it is not just any Jesus, but it is our Lord Jesus Christ who has revealed himself in the New Testament and who is the reason for the season, who is the reason why we are celebrating Christmas Day today. All that God has for you and for me is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, his Son. So no matter what difficulties we face during this Christmas season, no matter what decisions we must make, in the end, our God leads us back to one simple answer, which is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. In an interview with David Frost on PBS, listen to this, church. Dr. Billy Graham, remember? Famous evangelist, said he hoped the last word he uttered before dying was simply this: Jesus. And church, we can't do better. The last word he hoped that he would utter before dying was simply Jesus. Let me close with this story, written by Taylor Cowan. The story reads: for many of us, one Christmas stands out from all the others, the one when the meaning of the day shone clearest. Although I did not guess it, my own truest Christmas began on a rainy spring day in the bleakest year of my life. Recently divorced, I was in my 20s, had no job, and was on my way downtown to go the rounds of the employment offices. I had no umbrella, for my old one had fallen apart, and I could not afford another one. I sat down in the streetcar, and there against the seat was a beautiful silk umbrella with a silver handle inlaid with golden flecks of bright enamel. I had never seen anything so lovely. I examined the handle and saw a name engraved among the golden scrolls. The usual procedure would have been to turn in the umbrella to the conductor, but on impulse, I decided to take it with me and find the owner myself. I got off the streetcar in a downpour and thankfully opened the umbrella to protect myself, and I searched a telephone book for the name on the umbrella and found it. I called and a lady answered. Yes, she said in surprise, that was her umbrella, which her parents, now dead, had given her for a birthday present. But she added, it had been stolen from her locker at school. She was a teacher more than a year before. She was so excited that I forgot I was looking for a job and went directly to her small house. She took the umbrella and her eyes filled with tears. The teacher wanted to give me a reward, but though $20 was all I had in the world, her happiness at retrieving this special possession was such that to have accepted money would have spoiled something. We talked for a while, and I must have given her my address. I don't remember. The next 6 months were wretched. I was able to obtain only temporary employment here and there for a small salary, though this was what they now call the roaring 20s. But I put aside 25 or 50 cents when I could afford it for my little girl's Christmas presents. It took me 6 months to save $8. My last job ended the day before Christmas. My $30 rent was soon due, and I had $15 to my name, which Peggy, her daughter, and I need for food. She was home from her convent boarding school and was excitedly looking forward to her gifts the next day, which I had already purchased. I had bought her a small tree, and we were going to decorate it that night. The stormy night was full of the sound of Christmas merriment. As I walked from the streetcar to a small apartment, bells rang and children shouted in the bitter dusk of the evening, and windows were lighted, and everyone was running and laughing. But there would be no Christmas for me. I knew, because I have no gifts, no remembrance whatsoever. As I struggled through the snowdrifts, I had just about reached the lowest point in my life, unless a miracle happened. I would be homeless in January, foodless, jobless. I'd prayed steadily for weeks and there'd be no answer but this coldness and darkness, this harsh air, this abandonment. God and man had completely forgotten me. I felt all this death and as lonely, what was to become of us? I looked in my mailbox. There were only bills in it, a sheaf of them, and two white envelopes, which I was sure contained more bills. I went up 3 dusty flights of chairs and I cried shivering in my coat, but I made myself smile so I could greet my little daughter with a pretense of happiness. She opened the door for me and threw herself in my arms, screaming joyously and demanding that we decorate the tree. Peggy had proudly set our kitchen table for our evening meal and put pans out and 3 cans of food, which would be our dinner. For some reason, when I looked at those pans and cans, I felt brokenhearted. We would have only hamburgers for our Christmas dinner tomorrow and gelatin. I stood in the cold little kitchen and misery overwhelmed me. For the first time in my life, I doubted the existence of God and His mercy, and the coldness in my heart was colder than ice. The doorbell rang and Peggy ran fleetly to answer it, calling that it must be Santa Claus. And I heard a man talking heartily to her and went to the door. It was the delivery man, and his arms were full of parcels. And he was laughing at my child's frenzied joy and her dancing. "This is a mistake," I said. But he read the name of the parcels, and they were for me. When he had gone, I could only stare at the boxes. Peggy and I sat on the floor and opened them. A huge doll, 3 times the size of the one I had bought for her. Gloves, candy, a beautiful leather purse. Incredible. I looked for the name of the center. It was the teacher. The address simply California, where she had moved. Our dinner that night was the most delicious I had ever eaten. I could only pray, "Thank you, Father." I forgot I had no money for the rent and only $15 in my purse and no job. My child and I ate and laughed together in happiness. Then we decorated the little tree and marveled at it. I put Peggy to bed and set up her gifts around the tree, and a sweet peace flooded me like a benediction. I had some hope again. I could even examine the sheaf of bills without cringing. Then I opened the 2 white envelopes. One contained a check for $30 from a company I'd worked for briefly in the summer. It was said a note, "My Christmas bonus, my rent." The other envelope was an offer of permanent position with the government to begin 2 days after Christmas. I sat with the letter in my hand and the check on the table before me, and I think that was the most joyful moment of my life up to that time. The church bells began to ring. I hurriedly looked at my child who was sleeping blissfully and ran down to the street. Everywhere people were walking to church to celebrate the birth of the Savior. People smiled at me and I smiled back. The storm had stopped. The sky was pure and glittering with stars. "Jesus Christ is born," sang the bells to the Christmas night, to the crystal night, and the laughing darkness. Someone began to sing, "Oh come, all you faithful." I joined in and sang with strangers all about me. "I am not alone at all," I thought. I was never alone. And that, of course, is the message of Christmas. We are never alone. Not when the night is darkest. Not when the wind is coldest. Not when the world is seemingly most indifferent. For Christmas is still the time God chooses. Church, Jesus Christ is our event. And today, even as we celebrate Christmas, I hope that we will embrace Him into our hearts. I hope that we will open our hearts to Him. Because time and time again, He has said to us, "I love you. I will never forsake you. I will be there for you." And time again, God's Word says, "For God so loved the world, gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but be saved." Church, as Emmanuel, Jesus Christ is God. As Emmanuel, Jesus Christ is our shepherd. As Emmanuel, Jesus Christ is our Savior. So what is it for you today? As this precious gift is laid before you today, as this precious gift is unwrapped by God Himself for you today, what is it for you? Will you receive Him right here? Or will you just turn your back from that gift and say, "No, thank you, God. I don't want it." But it's my hope and my prayer, even today, we will open our hearts to Jesus Christ. And if we have already opened our hearts to Jesus Christ, good for you. Because we will be looking forward to His second coming. Amen? Jesus Christ, as the Word of God says, will come again. And as the Word of God says, Jesus Christ, when He comes again, He will take us to Himself. That where He is, there we may be also. Let us look up to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You did not send an angel because an angel would never meet our need. And You did not say, read a book as if books alone could save us. Father God, when we were far gone in sin and hopelessly lost, when there was no hope and we were doomed to eternal judgment, You came to us in the person of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You did not forget us and You did not leave us alone. Father God, today on this Christmas day, on this day when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless You for remembering us in our misery and coming to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we know that You clothed Your own Son with human flesh so that He might become our Savior. And so today, Father God, I pray that on this Christmas day, You will fill us with joy. You will fill us with joy because if God be for us and if God be with us, who can be against us? And Father God, I pray that You would fill us with joy no matter what our circumstances, no matter the pain, no matter the anxiety, no matter the suffering that we are going through. Because we know, Father God, for a fact that if Jesus Christ is in us, we have everything. We have the greatest gift of all. And that's more than enough. And Lord Jesus Christ, let me say to You, thank You. Thank You. Thank You for taking the thought of our sin. Thank You for loving us. Personally, I don't know where I'll be if not for You. I won't even be standing here for Your people. Because I am a sinner condemned to hell. But Lord Jesus, thank You that we can celebrate Your birth today. Marks the unveiling of God's plan for our salvation. And because of this, Father God, we're going through right now. We can look forward to that day when we will see Jesus Christ face to face. And all these heartaches, all these pains, all these illnesses will be gone. What we're going through right now, Father God, pales in comparison with the glory that we will experience in Your presence someday. So, Lord Jesus, thank You. Bottom of my heart. Christmas.